Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of the most famous or most popular passages in the entire Bible. Most Christians, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you can probably recite these verses from memory. Most likely, if you're like me, you probably memorized it in the King James Version. Of course, I'm not reading the King James today, but it still says the same thing in the translation that I'm reading. But there is a danger when we come to a passage like this to think that we already have it, that we already know everything about it, and there's nothing that we can learn from it. And I hope that we will come to this passage this morning with an attitude of humility, that there is something that we can learn here and something that God intends for us to get from this passage, something new. So if you found your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning asking that you would open this passage anew to us this morning, and that you would open our hearts and minds to receive what you would have us to receive from it, that you would speak to us through it, and that you would apply it to our lives, that you would help us to realize the wonderful and the great gift that comes as a result of salvation. And Lord, as a result of your grace. And today, we just pray that you would work in hearts and minds, and that your will would be accomplished in every single heart that is present here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I think of great gifts of grace, probably the one gift in my life, besides my salvation, obviously, that God has given me, that always comes to mind when I think of somebody giving me a gracious gift. I remember my 13th birthday. I was in school that day. I don't remember what grade. That's been 3 or 4 years ago. But it was middle school, somewhere along in there. And my dad came and got me out of school, said that there was a family emergency. And when, you know, I was expecting something really bad, and the teacher was in on this, by the way. The teacher knew what was going on. Got me home, opened the door, and there's a brand new moped. And my dad began to cry. He said, I've never had anything like this. My parents couldn't afford to give me anything like this. And I wanted to give you something special. And that probably has meant more to me than just about any gift that I've ever had. And I've received a lot of good gifts. But when we talk about grace gifts, you know, grace is given. You know, it's a gift that's given regardless of whether we deserve it or not. We don't deserve it. As a matter of fact, I have a candy jar on the desk in my study that is currently, it's about half full of these mini Tootsie Roll Pops. And all the children in the church know that they can just walk in there anytime. They don't have to have been good and just grab a Tootsie Roll Pop or whatever's in that jar out of there. It's based on grace. It's not on whether they've been a good boy or a good girl. It's just, you know, if they want it, they can have it. God's grace is a grace gift to us. It's something we don't deserve. But Paul here, he's been talking in our passage that we've read before that, you know, we have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And he made the statement in verse 5 in parentheses that we're saved by grace. And now he wants to come back to that and expand that and tell us what it means to be saved by grace. In other words, how is it that God took us from being spiritually dead and made us alive together with Christ. And so he wants to say that we are saved by grace through faith for good works. And so let's look at these truths about salvation by grace. Well, first of all, you are saved by grace alone. We see that at the very beginning of verse 8. He says, "For by grace you have been saved." What is the definition of grace? Can we just define it, first of all? Grace, or some places it's actually translated as favor, but it's the acceptance of and goodness toward those who cannot earn or do not deserve such gain. We get an example of this in the Gospel of Luke very early on when God is speaking to Mary through an angel, and the angel said to her, in Luke 1:30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." That's the same word, grace. "You have found favor with God." In other words, this is not something you deserve, Mary. God has bestowed this upon you, and He intends to do something marvelous through you. You found favor in His eyes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because Noah was a particularly righteous man. It's just that God wanted to have grace upon Noah. And so you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by grace. Grace is the acceptance of and goodness toward those who cannot earn or do not deserve such gain. Now, I want you to see that every single step in your salvation is by grace. Now, our prepositions are very important in these verses. When he says by grace, he's meaning that grace is the basis. It's the foundation of your salvation. So the very basis of God saving you is grace. And so we have seen in Ephesians chapter 1 that our election was based upon God's grace. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, he says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." God chose us before the foundation of the world, and you know what the basis of His choosing us was? Grace. It was His unconditional love. He chose us. He called us. He regenerated us. Look at Ephesians 2:5. "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ." And Paul says in parentheses there, "By grace you have been saved." It was God's grace that reached down and took a spiritually dead person like me and made me alive in Christ. Our faith is a grace from God. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 27, it says, "And he wanted to go across to Achaia." This is talking about Paul. The brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. How did they come to believe? God gave them the gift of belief, and they believed. It was by grace that they believed. Our justification. Now, what is justification? It's being declared not guilty in a court of law. It's being justified, being found innocent. Our justification is by grace. Titus 3:7 says, "So that being justified by His grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Forgiveness is by grace. We saw that in Ephesians 1:7. Our sanctification. What is sanctification? That's God taking what He has done in our salvation and working it out practically in our lives so that we grow more and more like Christ every day. That is a gift of grace. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you have an abundance for every good deed." So when God calls you to do something good, He equips you by grace. And then our glorification will be by grace. We saw that in Ephesians 2:7 last week. It says, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, our salvation is God's gracious gift. It's all on Him. It's nothing that we have done to deserve it. It's all His gracious gift. Then He goes on. The second truth that we learn about salvation is that we are saved through faith and not works. He says in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now what is faith? We've defined grace. Grace is God's gift toward us that we don't deserve, His acceptance and His goodness toward us that we don't deserve. Faith is belief. You could define it as trust or confidence in. You know, every day we have faith. As a matter of fact, did you know it's impossible to live a life without faith? What do I mean? Every time I drive into Bartow, I go across a bridge there at the Peace River, right? Or Peace Creek. I have to have faith that I don't even typically think about that bridge will hold me up, right? You have faith all the time. I mean, when you go out to a restaurant and you eat, you're having faith that your food is not contaminated. Am I right? You just assume that. It's by faith. You have no proof of that. You just do it by faith. You trust that it's okay. I was reading about in the 19th century, there was this world-famous performer. He went by the name of Blondin. And he was English. There's actually a street in London named after him. And did all kinds of balance feats. He walked out over Niagara Falls on a tightrope and cooked an omelet while he was standing on the tightrope. Now, you know, that's pretty high up, you know. That's some balance. One time, he carried a man across Niagara Falls on a tightrope on his back. And he made it to the other side and he set the man down. And there was another guy standing there and he said, do you believe I could do that with you? And the guy says, well, yeah, I believe it. He said, well, hop on. You think the guy hopped on? Would you hop on? You see, there's more to it than just his ability. What if the rope gives way, you know? It's one thing to say you believe in Jesus. It's another thing to actually trust in Him for salvation and put your faith and your confidence in Him. But see, faith, that's our part in salvation. It's what God requires of us. But Paul makes the point here that all of salvation, even the faith that we have, is a gift from God. He says there, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. As a matter of fact, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he says in the introduction to his epistle, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice his language there. Did he say they possessed the faith? They received it. God gave them the faith to believe, and they received it. See, in Philippians 1:29 it says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. There, our belief, it's granted to us by God. Our faith, He gives us that faith. And He says that our salvation is not by works. In Romans 3:20, it says, because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now, it's pretty popular in, I guess what you want to say, American folk religion maybe, that, you know, we all need to be tough and just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, we just, there's just this rugged individualism, I guess that you would say, that, you know, kind of the good old boy type, you know, that, you know, I'm not too bad, so I think I'm okay. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good guy or pretty good gal. And so I think I'm okay. But what Paul makes clear here, as a matter of fact, there was a preacher one time, and not a preacher of the gospel. This is just downright heresy. He said that, you know, our salvation is kind of like a frog got dropped in a jug of milk. Or a container of milk, and he couldn't get out, and so the frog kept trying to paddle and swim and everything, and the frog kept on kicking its legs until it finally had churned a little pat of butter, and it got up on top of that butter and jumped out. Folks, that may be a good story for getting yourself out of, you know, hardship and stuff. But that's not how salvation works at all. It's a free gift of God, and you receive it by faith. God chose faith precisely because it's the one thing that is not work at all. I mean, if you you'll see the homeless folks there as you're going into Walmart, standing there asking for money. Now, let me ask you something. If you roll down your window and you hand them a few dollars and they walk up and grab it, are they working for that? I mean, do you count that walking up and taking the money, do you count that as a work? No. That's just receiving a free gift. And that's what faith is. It's just receiving a free gift. It's accepting it and receiving it. And so faith is the one instrument that God chose precisely because it is not works. Now, we bear the responsibility, though. Think about this. Even though faith is a gift from God, and He gives it to us to exercise toward Him, we are still held responsible if we don't exercise faith. I think of Jesus standing over Jerusalem and weeping, and He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate." So God will give you faith, and you're responsible to exercise that faith to receive Him. Why faith? Paul says that it eliminates boasting. In 1 Corinthians, he said, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Whose doing is it that I'm in Jesus Christ? It's God's doing. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Can you imagine what heaven would be like if we had anything to do with our salvation? Who would we be praising when we got there? Think about it. You know, I was down there having a really hard time, but I just kind of pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I hung on to Jesus. That's not what heaven's going to be like at all. Heaven's going to be like, you saved us who were unworthy and made us worthy. It'll be that eternal praise for what He has done for us. Now, I want to say this too, that faith is not merely an intellectual thing. As a matter of fact, that is part of it, but it's not the entire thing. Yes, we have to believe in the facts that Jesus was the Son of God, that He came and He lived a sinless life, that He died on the cross, and that He was raised again on the third day. That's the intellectual part, but that's not the complete thing. The part, there is more to it. There's trusting in Him, receiving Him as Lord and Savior to save you. And Paul here, if we watch our prepositions, we said, first of all, we were saved by grace. That means that grace was the basis for our salvation. Then we said we're saved through faith. In other words, that's the instrument that God uses to apply the grace to our hearts and lives. But then he says in verse 10 that we are saved for good works. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. This is an amazing picture here in verse 10. In a lot of ways, the rest of the book of Ephesians expands what verse 10 means, to be in Christ, to be created in Him, to be His workmanship. What are we when we are in Christ? It says here that we are His workmanship. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word there is poema, which is where we get our word for poem. It refers to a work of art. As a matter of fact, Sir Walter Scott wrote a novel one time. He's telling about this man who gave this beautiful description of this city. And this other man said, "Ah, you'll prove to be a maker yet." And he put a footnote in there that maker was the ancient Scottish word for a poet. It's an artisan, somebody who does craftsmanship, who works with their hands, who we are God's workmanship. We're His craftsmanship. We're His masterpiece, His work of art. This word is used in Romans 1:20, where it says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made," there's our word, "so that they are without excuse." What Paul is getting at there in Romans is not that just that creation is something that God did, not that God just made creation, but creation is His masterpiece. It's His handiwork. It's God's work of art. You know, Marty and I were driving into town yesterday at sunset, and that was one of the most beautiful sunsets I think I've seen. Did y'all see that? It was just a beautiful sunset yesterday. We were thinking about how, look at God's handiwork. But Paul says that is nothing in comparison to His spiritual handiwork in the life of somebody who's been saved. We see God's handiwork in creation, but if you want to ultimately see God's masterpiece, look at what He does in the lives of those who have been saved and the changes that He has made. So we know what we are when we're in Christ. We are His workmanship, but what do we do? He says we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, good works do not produce salvation. Good works are produced by salvation. Titus 2:14. Talks about that. And of course, I left it off my list. Sorry about that. James. That's where I wanted to go anyway. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Salvation produces good works. James, he's given an example. People are talking, and he's replying to people in the book of James who think that faith in Christ is just an intellectual thing. You just believe that He's there and everything's okay. You believe that He died for you. But James is responding to that, and he says, "What use is it, my brethren, If someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Now, that's an obvious rhetorical question, and the obvious answer is no. If you have a faith that doesn't do any kind of works, that faith is not saving faith. And he gives an example. He says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Did you know that we are to help poor people? Help materially poor people? The way a lot of Christians talk nowadays, you'd think we're waging, instead of waging war on poverty, we're waging war on the poor. That they could just do better. Folks, that's not always the case. And James says here, if you ignore that, your faith is not real. And he says, let me put it in today's language, what James 2:16 is all about. Somebody comes to you with a need, a monetary need, and you've got the means to help them. I know if you don't have the means to help them, that's another thing. But if you have the means to help them, and you just say, well, I'll pray for you. That's what James is talking about. He's saying that kind of faith is not a genuine saving faith. He says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. What's he saying? He's saying you can have correct doctrine. You can believe the right things intellectually, but if it hasn't touched your heart and changed your heart, you're no better off than the demons. Did you know demons have correct theology? He says you're no better off. We're created for good works in Christ Jesus. Think of it like this. Grace is the root of the plant. Faith, grace that's applied through faith, that's the root of the plant. Works is the fruit of the plant. If you've got good roots, you'll have good fruit. That's the picture that we have of salvation, of genuine salvation. As a matter of fact, Jesus used the illustration of fruit in John 15 and verse 8. He says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How is it that we know that our salvation is real? We bear fruit. We're created in His image. We're created, we're His workmanship, created for good works. We bear fruit. That's how we know our salvation is real. And he says here that God has preordained that this is how we should walk in verse 10. Which he prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. What did God prepare beforehand? The works that he wants us to do. He's prepared those beforehand. In other words, before all eternity, God had a job description for your life. He wanted you to do something, some particular thing. If you're in him, he's got a calling on your life. We see that in Romans 8:28 and 29. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew. He also predestined. See, there's a word. He's predestined it, that we would become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. What's God doing in your life if you're saved, if you're genuinely saved. He is conforming you. He's bringing things into your life, sometimes painful, very often painful, so that you'll be conformed to the image of His Son. Let me put it like this. God is slowly and incrementally, if you are in Him, God is slowly and incrementally putting you to death. What do I mean by that? I don't mean physical death. He's making Tim Fisher die so that Jesus Christ can live in and through me. He's killing me so that Jesus Christ can live in me. He's putting me to death. He brings things into our lives that are painful, that are hurtful, so that it kills the old self and brings about Jesus Christ living in me. And He says that these good works that He's called us to do, that's how we're to walk. Did you notice there at the beginning of chapter 2, He said there was a way we used to walk according to the course of this world. But now, how do we walk? In the good works that God has created for us. He's created us over again, given us a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. What is God doing in your life? Have you been saved by grace through faith? If so, He's got works for you to do. He's got a job for you to do. And as we'll see in the second part of this chapter, it's within His church. He's got something He wants you to do within His church. If you're not saved, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me say to you this morning, just reach out by faith and receive Him. He will change your life. You'll become a masterpiece, a work of art that He can display for all eternity.